Shalom Aleichem, Chavre. This is Binyamin Hammer, National Council Young Israel. We are now going to begin our 39th conference call with Rabbi Willig. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Question number one. A couple in my shul will be getting married next Tuesday night and will be joining us Friday night for the community Seder and Sheva Brachas. A, do we have an additional kosher bracha to drink at the Seder? B, in general, can one drink more than arba kosos at the Seder? The answer to both questions is no. Ein mosif an ala kosos. So the question, so what do you do? Tremendous machlek is what to do. Look in Pischei Tshuva and Ebenezer Simon Samach Beis of Kod Yudches. The most accepted shita is that the Balabayis, as usual by the Seder, is Mezamin himself. It's quoted in Hilchos Pesach on his cup. Then the Chosn has his own cup, as everyone else does for Sheva Brachos, for Birchos, the third Kosos of the Arba Kosos. You take the Chosn's cup and you say Sheva Brachos on that cup, the six other Brachos, from Shakal Bar Lechvodo to Mesameh Chosn and Makala. Could be said by six different people. When it's done, then everyone makes their own Borah Priya Gofen. The Bala Bayis drinks from his cup, the Chosn drinks from his cup, and this way we're not most of other Kosos. That's the best way to do it. Question number two. If you find yourself somewhere on Pesach, where they eat gebrux, and your minig is not to, should you not eat? What if your child is in Israel and does not have a place to go non-gebrux? Should the child be mataneder? What about a son-in-law who doesn't eat gebrux, staying by his in-laws who do? The answer is as follows. A person should try to keep the minhagim that he's used to. If he's used to not eating gebrux, he should continue to not eat gebrux. If he wants to be mataneder, he can be mataneder. If he's Mata Neder, then he's able to eat gebrux. Son-in-law is the same thing. He should not eat the gebrux by his in-laws unless he's Mata Neder. The Avataras Dharma is not so simple. There are some who claim it's binding on a person. Most authorities assume these are Minach HaMakom. So if you lived in Hungary or in Poland, well, they didn't eat gebrux, you were bound by that minik. In America, seems to be no minik kavua. Everyone's living together, all different parts of Europe they came from, Sfaradim, everyone's mixed them together. So there's no clear minik hamakom. So therefore, if a person has no minik, you can eat gebrux. If you have a minik to the country, you want to change up the matanera. Question three. An elderly member of my shul was recently in the ICU after having an esophageal tear as a result of which he lost a lot of blood. His doctor suspects that it was caused by eating something very hard and therefore does not want him to eat regular shmurah matzah. I suggested that he grind up a shear of matzah and eat it that way, but he also has a bad cough and is afraid of aspirating to go to the ground matzah. He asked if he can soak the matzah in water so that it becomes sponge-like and eat it that way. Any suggestions on how this individual could be mekayim achilas matzah? He had the right answer. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Samach Aleph Siv Dalet, that matzah shruya b'mayim, like a sfug, like a sponge, the pshuto, is yotze. Mr. Brewer Yudzayin writes, it's even the chatchila for a chole v'zokein. This means a chole and a zokein. And make sure to have a kazayas in one shot to soak in, which we generally will have. And even if it's nismasmisa, that means it's pretty soggy. I would say it's called sponge-like. As long as it's not nimocha, not liquefied, as the Bialacha says, it would be okay. Question four. Have Balabatim or the Bratz movement to Eretz Yisrael? They have been in Israel for 4 months and now back in Chutzlar to Pesach. They own a home in Israel and are hoping to sell the home to our community. Though they have not been in Israel for any Yomim Tovim since the purchase of their apartment there, it is their full intent to continue going back and forth with each subsequent stay in Israel becoming longer and each stay in America becoming shorter. What is the status with respect to the Antosheni Shalgolias, both regarding the prohibition against Malacha as well as to the Mekayim, need to be Mekayim in the various mitzvahs Hayom? If their status at Bnei Yisrael would presently still be in question, at what point would that change? The answer is quite simple, I believe. Depends where they're spending the majority of the year. If the majority are there in Chutz Laretz, then Bnei Chutz Laretz. My impression is that they only stayed 4 months at this point, and therefore they're spending 8 months in Chutz Laretz right now, so they're still B'nai Chutz Laretz. Where will it change? As soon as the majority changes. When the majority changes, they'll become B'nai Eretz Yisrael. Question 5. Can one use a steam cleaner to kasher a metal sink? According to the package, it emits high temperature steams of over 212 degrees. The answer is no. The poskim say you need kabolo kach polto, and here that came in with boiling water, potentially being poured, has to come out with boiling water, or at least hot water being poured. The Mishnah Brewer says for iwu it's enough to have yatzel lettuce. You need not have mole ababua, tzroskim. But since it came in through iwu, it should come out through iwu. If it would come in with steam, then it's a machlokas apolskim. Can it go out with steam? Kibola kachpolta. Went in with water proper. You should kasher it with water proper. Question 6. If one will be on the east coast for Pesach and has chametz on the west coast, does he need to make sure his chametz is not brought back until Pesach is over on the west coast? Strictly speaking, the answer to that question is no, because most poskim assume we follow the way the person is, not where the chametz is, and the chametz is on the east coast. As a person on the East Coast, rather. But the Chatchila, which are miyamacha for all shittas, and therefore the rabbi will probably have other mispalalim who will be personally on the West Coast. And for them, he's required to tell the Nachri after Pesach is over, I'm buying back the Chometz effective immediately, except for those on the West Coast. And for them, it's postponed for 3 hours. So this person, even if he's on the East Coast, if he has chametz on the West Coast, he should ask the rabbi to include him in that second phrase, that his purchase of the chametz from the Nachri will also take place only at a later time, when it's no longer Pesach in California. Question 7. A congregant will be spending the Seder nights with his ailing father in the hospital. His father is the Yirei Shemayim and wants to be yotzei the minimum shiur at the Seder. What should I tell him? What should be the minimum obligation of the Seder from that God? Well, here's a story. A kazayis, which is an olive that we have nowadays, is a very, very small amount. Very small amount. It's at most 7.5 cc's. That's what you think metric, which is about 1/8 of a machine matzah, about 1/16 of a typical hand matzah would have 8 to a pound, and that's for someone who's can't have more than that. That's what should be relied upon. Of course, in Shulchan Aruch it says you have to have l'chatchila yesh omrim, the size of a half an egg, and that's 3 times as much as the shiur just gave you. If the person can handle it, he can handle it. If not, not. Revius is a beitzo machza. It's an egg and a half. Our eggs, are 50 cc's. So, a revius is 75 cc's, or about 2.5 ounces. And you don't have to drink half of it, rubo. So you don't have to drink that much. That's the ikar adin. Those who want to be machmir for various shitas, those who have the biggest eggs, some will have the eggs, well, half of the used to be. There are all kinds of chumras, but I told you it's the ikar adin. What is the minimum obligation to say at the Haggadah? We'll hold off till question 9. Question 8. Under what circumstances is it permitted to take medicine with kidneys or chametz ingredients? Kidneys is muta even for chola she'ein bo sakana. If it's chola chametz is royal achila, then it's only muta for chola she'yesh bo sakana. Normally in medicines, the chametz is not royal achila, and would be muta for chola she'ein bo sakana as well. Question number 9. I'll be running a Seder for a group of people who will likely not stay until the end of the Seder if it goes too long. Is it better to go through the entire text of Maggid quickly with little or no explanation, or to pick out some parts to explain in more depth and skip other parts? If so, which parts should be said and which parts can be skipped? It's an excellent question. Of course, it's better to say everything quickly and then focus on the other parts if you have enough time to do that. If you have to skip, well, there's a Mishnah Mefureshes on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph from Sochim that says you say Manishtana, and then you have Maschil Bignus U'Mesayim B'Shvach, which means you say Avodah Mayinu, that paragraph, and Mitzchilo De'Avodah Zara, that paragraph. That's it. Only three paragraphs. Manishtana, Avodah Mayinu, and Mitzchilo De'Avodah Zara. Then it says in the Mishnah that you darshan the entire parasha of Ami Ovid Avi. So in Ahai Godi, you start from Seil Lamad until the Tzach Adash Rachav. That's this Joshua's Chazal on Rami Ovid Avi, those four psukim. And then you can pick up from Ben Gamliel Omer until the Bracha of Gal Yisrael. And everything else you can skip. That's Me'ikir Adin. You have a little more time. Add what the Rambam added. Rambam added Holach Ma'anya. And then all those memories from Masav Rebbe Lezer until Mitzchila Ode Avodah Zarah. And he had from Baruch Sharaf Tchosel Yisrael until Tzeilamad, he answered that too. So you're skipping very little. You're skipping fundamentally only from Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, which is the 50, the 200, the 250, and the Dayenu. That can be skipped as not in the Rambam's Haggadah. So there are therefore there's three levels. There's that which is not even in the Rambam's Haggadah, that can be skipped quickly. Things that are not in our Haggadah, which can be skipped in the Sha'as HaTzchak, and the things which are in the Gemara, in the Mishnah of the Gemara, which should not be skipped. Question 10. Is it permitted for a pregnant woman to eat or drink after the Afikoman if she feels sick or nauseous if she does not do so? Pashup Shad is, if she's not for the drink, it's much better. You look at Mishnah Berurah Siman Tav Ayin Ches of Cotton Bays, you can drink anything which is not intoxicating. L'chatchila, you should only drink water. But in a pinch of the things, if that will relieve her illness or nausea, that would suffice. If she's really sick, then they can eat too. It's an amuchiyah to get sick over the mitzvah of matzah and all. Pashtus, kavachoma for the chumra of not eating after afikoma. Question number 11. What is the reason for the minhag of wearing a kittel at the Seder? For the chasn and shana rishana wear a kittel as an ovel. So the Netziv, in his introduction to the Haggadah, says that the idea of a kittel is to remind us of the Kohen Gadol, who were big deal lovin', and that meant it was the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, that the Seder were very concerned about the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, the Shana Rabbi Rishalayim, so therefore we wear a kittel to remind us of the Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, a shchasan, an ovel, everyone should wear a kittel. Nothing to do with that personal status. There are those who say that an ovel should not wear a kittel. That's the Mishnah Berurah, Tav Ayin Gimel, Sivkot and Yud Gimel. Some say that based upon the Maral, that the kittel is Mishim Simcha, an ovel is not found in Simcha. Some say the reverse. But the whole purpose of a kittel, as Magen Avraham suggests, is Sheikona Libo Bebeged Mason. The kittel is a beged of Mason, Tachrichim, and it will, you know, not allow you to become too frivolous. But an ovel, even without the kittel, is not frivolous. He's in a somewhat somber mood. So that's why an ovel, also according to some customs, does not wear a kittel. Chosn, some want to say that you wear a kittel because you want to make sure that he's happy and not saddened by the memory of dying at the end of the day. And some disagree with that too. It seems to me the preferred custom is they should wear kittel, the chosn, the ovel, everyone should wear kittel, unless it's an explicit minhag to the contrary. Question 12. Is there a heder mitzvah to drink non-mevushel wine at the Seder or anytime making Kiddush? In principle, yes. Some say that you cannot be yotzei with mevushel. The Rambam says that way. If your wine is otherwise Rambam qualified, means there's no sugar mixed in, that would be better. Rashi even suggests that maybe that mevushel wine is a shahakal. So there are shittas out there that prefer non-mevushel wine. However, in my view, Much better to have mevusel wine. Why? Because you're afraid that a non-Jew will touch it. And you'll say, we don't have any. They show up at the darndest times, and we've been in tough situations. So I think it's much better for all the wine to mevusel. Question 13. Does a father who is not a Bechor have to fast and attend to see him Bechorim for his Bechor who is not Bar Mitzvah? The answer is yes. Question 14. Somebody's gone there to Shul for Pesach and would like to repair Kvarim of family members. Can he go in Chol HaMoed to the Kvarim? Not discussing the Molacha. It would seem that he needs to meet with the person who will be doing the work and not that the work is done while he's there. Another option he offered was to send pictures. In general, what are the guidelines going to Kvarim during Nisan and what about Chol HaMoed? In Nisan is a Machlokes. The Geshe Rechaim quotes two opinions. Whether you can go to the cemetery in Nisan, Chol HaMoed is more strict. So it's better if you're going to visit Eretz Yisrael, it's better to schedule an appointment at the cemetery for either before or after Pesach rather than go on Chol HaMoed. If it's impossible, get even go on Chol HaMoed. There's no Easter gum. Question 15. What is the best way to kosher a non-self-clean oven, a hot plate, or a microwave? Big fight about a non-clean oven. According to Rav Moshe, the only way to clean the oven is with a blowtorch. And the blowtorch has to remain on each portion of the oven a certain amount of time. I would never recommend any individual to do so. It's Bekuach Nefesh, Sakona Safosh, someone where I live once passed away many years ago while kashering with a blowtorch. It's just dangerous. You want to use a bimacha for a blowtorch? Hire a professional who knows what he's doing, and they should kasher with a blowtorch. But most poskim say that you don't require an actual fire of Henkin, the Rav, Rav Aaron, Kotler, were all Makil, and many others to put up to the highest, first easy off, then put up to the highest temperature for an hour. For an hour. And that's good enough. Same would be applied to a hot plate, but of course better to cover it. Sometimes, in theory, you could be put food directly on it, as opposed to an oven where you presumably would not. Microwave is more complicated. Most microwaves are made from plastic. Rav Moshe does not recommend kashering plastic for Pesach because it maybe have a mashu. Others disagree. If you're going to kasher it, presumably you would kasher it with steam. As we mentioned earlier, kabola kachpoto goes in with steam, goes out with steam. And there's a base. You have to kasher it or cover it. And some is made from glass, which we Ashkenazim don't kasher for Pesach. Maybe you have to cover it with something. Every microwave is a bit different. Question 16. By shul kiddushin, men they serve gefilte fish and cholent with other things. Many people end up eating them together. I've made announcements. Should I keep making announcements at every kiddush, or should I tell them to stop ordering fish? In my view, they can order fish, but strictly speaking, they're mogan avromites, nishtana vatzvoyim, fish and meat are no longer dangerous. So you can literally have a sandwich with fish and meat. No one does that. Even the people in your shul probably are not having a sandwich of gefilte fish and cholent. They're probably having them one after the other. And worst case, having them together would still not be an absolute violation. It's no longer dangerous. Still, periodically, you should make announcements. They shouldn't eat it together. That's the minig. But they shouldn't. No need to cancel the fish or the cholent of the kiddush. Final question, 17. Immediately after Pesach, probably even the last days of Pesach, the shul would like to make available the May calendar. How do you what do with Hallel and Tachta Yom Ha'atzmaut? The only thing which is definitive about the shul's minhag is that some people say for sure we for sure used to say it, and some people say we for sure didn't say it. The majority of the current weekday minyan doesn't really care either way. There are one or two hot vocal people on each side of the fence, and they have an Israeli or American flag, and they say the tefillah to Yisrael on Shabbos. Those are somewhat connected, but not exactly connected. My guess is that if they have these phenomena of an Israeli flag and they say tefillah, so I assume you mean tefillah l'shalom medina, my guess is the custom was to say hallel, but there's only one way to find out. That's to speak to the previous rabbi. I will just throw in a personal vignette. Now that we have reached the end of the shiur, it's a personal story. When I came to my community in Riverdale, I came in Parshas Bo, 1974, in January. Bo means to come. And I came B'Shalach. It was wonderful. Yisro was great. 3 weeks in a row, I said, It's easy being a rabbi. And then in the fourth week is Mishpatim. So I take 3 steps back from Shmoneh Esrei Shacharis, and there's a bang on the table. Yotzris! With Pasha Shkolim. Okay. A minute later, another bang on the table. No Yotzris! Now I'm in trouble. So I ask a simple question. What did they do last year? So as the questioner here said, predicted, some said we said the Yotzris. Others said we didn't say Yotzris. I knew right away that as a young rabbi, a rookie, just coming in, there was nothing I could do to resolve this dispute at that point in time. So they just was Isha Yosha Ben of Yasser for that particular season. However, the next year, I got a little smart. I made a phone call to the previous Rav, and I asked him, what was the custom when you were here? He said, we said Yotzris. So we say Yotzris ever since then, even though it's not such a popular custom, because we try to keep the customs that came from the beginning of the existence of the shul. Same thing over here. You have to speak to the previous Rav, assuming there was one, and ask him, what was the minig in this shul? If he says the minig was to say Yom Matzvot, then you should say it. If he says it's not to say, you shouldn't say it. My shul, before I got there, the minig was to say Hal Yom Matzvot, so we continue to do so. You always have to try to follow whenever you can the previous minhagim. My Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, thought, you're saying halal, it's better to postpone the halal to the end of davening. Not when you usually say it, but right after Shemoneh Esrei. Say it at the end, which is what we do now. We say at the end of davening. This has two pluses. Number one, my Rebbe thought if it's at the end, it's not so much of a change in the ritual. He was very much opposed to any change in ritual. It's only at the end. And then number two, for that very same reason, if some person, for example, doesn't want to be there for halal, and he's very anti-Zionist or something like that, so he can just, stay for the whole davening, and to finish Aleinu, he can just sort of walk out, like other people walk out to catch a train or who knows what. He's walking out. No one knows why he's walking out. As opposed to if he's going to walk out in the middle of davening, that's a much more flagrant violation of Minhag HaMakom. I'd like to wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
Rebbe, thank you very much. Chag Kosher V'Sameach to everyone. We hope Be'ezrat Hashem after Yontif if we could call on you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.